The following is a Castwave Studios production.
The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello, hello. Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere, Season 6, Episode 9. Colin hates the new cardboard toys from Nintendo. A Taco Bell employee beans his boss with a burrito. We discuss Finn piloting robots and the Black Panther fighting Gollum, and another amusing round, an arousing round, of Twup Date. And, not to mention, we're in a brand new studio live in Frederick, Maryland. It's Boldly Going Nowhere.
It's pretty tight, Sean. It's pretty good.
Really good.
Yeah, really good.
I squeeze it all in, and it fit.
I'm glad it fit. Hopefully,
the way I put my pants.
It was a tight fit. And you just had to squeeze in there, but you got it.
Two legs at a time.
Extra baby powder.
Yeah. Hopefully, it wasn't too much discomfort, Sean.
Talcum and some lube.
So just right in there. I don't know if anyone can tell the webcams. So we have. You know, this one over here. And yeah. We have Clayton. Clayton's here.
Hi, Clayton.
Here. Yeah.
Dude, it's a Clayton.
Whoa.
It's a Clayton.
Who let those kids in here?
I don't know.
Where are your parents?
Where are my pants?
Say the thing that
I have pants.
Can you say the thing that we were asking you to
say? No.
Please? Pretty please.
But hey, we got a new studio.
Yes, we did. We did get a new studio. Right. Thanks to New Spire Arts. Castwave Studios is actually now broadcasting out of the New Spire Arts building. And this will be our home because we're teaching classes here. So they were like, well, we have a space you guys can utilize. Why not, you know, use it to its most efficient level and just, you know, put your equipment here. And we're like, good. Now Sean can eat dinners at his table now.
I know.
Are you excited about that?
I got this chalkboard
table.
Mm-hmm. And I had chalk and I got it for Christmas. And so I wrote welcome back table. My roommate came in, saw the table, and just continued to laugh. He's like, what? We get to eat off our table? What crazy idea is this?
I
figured we'd try something new for once.
Mm-hmm. We can actually play board games on that table now, and we can socialize on that table now. But, honestly,
we get business done at a business place.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. I'm just going to be super pissed if you actually don't eat meals at that table, right? With all the
I've been eating a lot of meals at that table.
Now, I will say one thing, just because, you know, we're in a brand new studio and I absolutely, you know, love the place and it's a brand new start for us. But I do just want to say, Sean, thank you for having us in there for however many years it's been at this point.
It's been a while.
Good Lord, because like we moved over from Applegate over to Jefferson.
Yeah.
And that has been... That has been the home of Castwave for however many years now, man.
3 years.
And it's, you know, while I love this place, it's kind of sad that we're not there anymore.
Well, thank you, Brian. It's been my pleasure.
It's, man.
And
we've had some really good times at that table.
It was really, really neat. Also, you know, hats off to Zach for tolerating it. And tolerating, like, the dining room table not existing for something
like 3 years, man.
We just have to thank your roommate for being so considerate to our business needs. Mm-hmm. Anyway, welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with your ears.
Ears, podcast, listen.
Yes, in that order.
Yes.
Anyway, yes.
So a couple things we want to talk about. So this is our first actual episode back from the holidays. Mm-hmm. We went to MAGFest, and that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got the t-shirt MAGFest.
It was good.
I got the Mag flu and that was great. The Neurovirus. That was fun.
Yeah, no, it wasn't.
That was a good time.
Yeah. That was fun because that literally went out on every channel. Like if you have anything to do with MAGFest, it's just like, hey, by the way, just a heads up. There's a strain of Neurovirus going around. Watch your shit.
I did not get to attend the MAGFest, but I did read about it in a magazine.
Mm. Oh.
Is that good for puns? Did they count?
Yes.
Yeah.
No, but I did hear about that the last day. Like
you're good.
I got home And I got a text message telling me, it's like, hey, there was an outbreak of norovirus at MAGFest. I was like, oh.
I was like, thank God I washed my hands as much as I did.
That's not good.
Jeez.
Oh, God. Yeah. Anyway, so a lot of stuff happened. But I will say this much. One thing I'm going to talk about right away is Nintendo. God knows we've been shitting on them for a while now. Not because, you know, we hate them, but, you know, it's they've made a lot of dumb business decisions.
I did just buy myself a brand new 3DS, just letting y'all know.
Yeah.
Like, yep. just so you know where our loyalties do lie.
Mm-hmm. No, we do love
it's
Nintendo
a Super
products.
Nintendo one. You show it to the camera oh, yeah. one.
It's freaking awesome because it looks like a little Super Nintendo. But
does it have a little? Does it have a little?
And it's got the purple buttons.
Yep, it's got the purple buttons. However, the theme I have on here. I have a Sega Genesis theme on here. Just to piss,
That's sacrilege.
Just to piss people off, man. Like right there, that's why I did it.
You know, it's funny. The day he showed me that, he like flipped it over and showed me that it was a Sega Genesis theme, and I was just like, "That's cool."
It's like
that's
a picture of Gandalf, and this is Star Trek.
Right. No, and the thing is, like, he showed it to me, and then I was like, "Yeah, that's cool, dude." And then he looked at me all disappointed because he thought I was gonna blow up at that. I was just like. You are aware I was a Sega guy, right? When I was a kid, that was my jam.
Right.
Shakan the Forever Man is still my favorite game.
Word.
So it's not insulting.
Sega! All
right. But so Nintendo fairly recently launched an announcement about a new product they're putting on the market called Nintendo Labo.
Nintendo Labo, which, by the way, I thought about it. I was like, is the name supposed to be like the Japanese pronunciation? Like, it's supposed to be like Nintendo Lab, but they're just like Nintendo Labo.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
So what Nintendo Labo or Labo is, it's a series of do-it-yourself cardboard implements that you can build and then attach to your Nintendo Switch to do all sorts of activities.
Yeah.
And I think in one kit, it's... it's a piano, a house, two RC cars.
The one kit is very much just like kind of more smaller do-it-yourself kind of craft kits. And then the other one is a robot fighting kit.
Yeah, it's like an actual, like, it's like a backpack and like it's built so you can move around like a mech.
Which I think is actually kind of a cool idea.
Really? You think it's a cool idea?
I think it is. I just wish it wasn't made out of cardboard.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Because I'm going to break it.
Yeah. When I was first told about this, I was like, this has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I don't think it's... I don't
You know what? I appreciate the fact that they are trying to do different things.
Yeah.
Because that's not Nintendo's... Nintendo's not big on... implementing change. They just aren't. They never have been.
They're the innovators of change, bro.
No.
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
Dude, the Wii, you know?
Yeah.
The DS. Like, they are the kings of, you know, coming out of left field.
Right, like when everyone was switching to CD-ROMs.
I mean, like, 3DS, like, it's 3D and it's, like, handheld.
Yeah.
And you don't need glasses and it looks like, it's nice.
You know, like, I respectfully disagree, Colin, and I believe that, honestly, Nintendo... is the king of pulling things like this where like
not really.
Yeah, they are. They're the kings of people who they're the kings of, hey, we got this crazy idea that we're going to just throw out there and see what sticks.
I think I'm in like sort of like in the middle ground here because I think yes, they're innovators of all these technologies and they're really good at engineering things. They just have a horrible supply and demand department.
That too. Yep.
That's what I like in terms of like marketing doesn't lead up to the actual logistics. Their logistics are horrible.
The marketing's great, but like they absolutely suck at supply and demand. I will agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Because they're just like they put out that thing where it's like, "Hey, we have, you know, we didn't know that many people wanted an NES Classic. Really? We didn't run the numbers properly." I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Anyways, back on topic about the Nintendo Labo.
It's dumb.
You think it's dumb?
It's dumb, and I hate it.
I honestly think that this is a neat idea for somebody to do. Like, this is...
Could somebody show me pictures of this?
Sure. But here's the thing. I honestly think that...
Play the video if you want. That way he can see what you're talking about.
Okay, cool. This is obviously not meant for me. This is meant for, say, like a... like a crap between a parent and their kid.
You know what? Okay, this is another thing that bothered me. The ad campaign for this was aimed towards, oh, this is a huge Nintendo decision. It's going to affect everybody who utilizes the Nintendo market. You know, our entire. I mean, and then, you know, they play this out, and then when people who are like, here, okay, so Sean, watch this.
Okay, I guess we'll just go to full screen.
So it's in a factory, it looks like. And it's like a piece of cardboard.
Yep. Multiple pieces of cardboard, everybody.
And a lot of cardboard.
With multiple options to do multiple different things because cardboard. You fold it yourself. Nintendo Switch looks like this. This music is freaking weird.
It is weird.
I guarantee you.
So it's like a cardboard piano, and that's gonna break.
Okay, so we have the house. We've seen the fishing pole. There's the robot, and I guess some people are saying that's a drum pedal. I think that's gonna be more used for like a car game.
The keyboard, I think, is cool. Okay, that's neat. I don't know what that is, but...
I don't either.
That's dumb. It's like a man calling.
And again...
Yeah, I'm...
God, I hate this music.
This is like discounted music from a Coke commercial.
This summer, they're going to learn the meaning of family. You know, like that kind of music.
The meaning of family. Drink Coca-Cola. Okay, see, the thing is, it's like my biggest complaint with this entire procedure is that this is all made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
You know, and my biggest concern with this is that, okay,
it's not going to last.
Not only is it not going to last, it's like, oh, like the...
It looks like two-ply cardboard. I mean, it looks like the kind of stuff that, like, you get... You put a drink on, and all of a sudden, it's like just...
Yeah.
Like, the condensation from the drink is going to, like, destroy that cardboard.
Exactly. But so here's my problem. The biggest
Nintendo Yabo.
420, everybody.
Oh, my God, 420. I didn't even notice that.
It's like cardboard, dude.
Dude, it's like cardboard
it comes out
for your video games.
Cardboard.
Was awesome. Nintendo? The question is, was Nintendo high when they pitched this idea?
They probably used cardboard.
I mean, here's my thing. So, Sean, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
How much do you think these kits retail for? Just go ahead and give me just estimate.
This is going to dictate whether I like it or not. I'm thinking they're going to be like ridiculously cheap. I'm thinking like $10.
Okay,
you're adorable.
$10.
You are adorable.
It's cardboard.
All right, so
like
Sean?
What? It's not even a cent to make.
Okay, so here's what we're gonna do.
Precious
Sean.
Summer child.
So one kit, which comes with the piano, the house, the motorcycle, the fishing rod.
I was thinking, per thing, $10 per
thing. Sure.
So
I get you.
So I'm thinking what? $30. For a kit?
So the one kit with the five implements, the house, the piano, the drum pedal, and all that, that retails for... Are you ready?
I'm sitting.
It retails for $69.99.
What the hell?
It comes with the game, however.
Again, we get that. That's okay. And
also,
then,
you
also,
get one piece of plastic with some metal in it.
Also,
for
can
the
I,
game.
Can I just say something real fast?
Sure.
$420.69. Love it.
God damn it.
Way to go, Nintendo, man.
Anyway.
Nintendo has...
Dude, Nintendo.
They know what's up. Xbox and, like, PS4, yeah. Man.
And you know the robot kit? That retails for $80.
Yep.
What?
Clayton, let's get your thoughts on this, possibly.
That's way too much money for cardboard.
Let me switch. It's Nintendo. I don't know, man. They're always trying to find ways to get people to actually interact with tangible reality despite right. the escapism of playing their games. And I think this is a wild experiment, but then again, so was Wii, you know? And certainly Wii wasn't a massive success, but it definitely had a certain high point, and there is a fan following for it. And I mean, I don't know. For me, it just... I think there are going to be the people that want to do it, and they're going to try it, and either it's going to take or it's not. And
yeah. I just feel bad for the parents who buy these for their children, and then within the first 5 minutes, they've spilled shit on it.
Now,
well,
I was actually going to give it a point to say at least they know who their audience is, because it's not like these kids are going to take these toys outside because they just stay in their mother's basement and play them inside. So it's not going to get caught in the rain.
Kind of the ideal time for it, actually.
So, yeah, but they'll spill their Mountain Dew on it, which will equally ruin it.
Maybe.
Gosh, I screwed up my Labo. Gosh.
Well, I'm just saying they're now, not doing. I don't. There's no like mention of a replacement program or anything like that. So they're going to have to share out another $80.
I was actually
going to
bring that up real fast because I was wondering if I'm going to try and look it up. I'm probably going to come up short, but like I would love to see what the warranty policy is going to be on this, because God knows that they've got to have like some kind of warranty policy.
I can tell you exactly what the warranty policy is. You open the manual and it says warranty policy, and underneath there's a picture of Shigeru Miyamoto and Reggie Fils and me just pointing and laughing at you. You fucking adult.
Awada's ghost is just like,
I don't know. I mean, maybe
please understand.
Maybe it's their attempts at trying to get younger, or their demographic to treat things more carefully.
Fair
maybe.
Enough.
Maybe.
I dig it.
That's a good point.
Perhaps they just got stoned and watched Science of Sleep and thought, let's make things in people's lives more like a Michel Gondry film.
I think, was that the one movie, or was it the other cardboard one? I can't remember.
No.
You showed us the trailer.
Dave
the cardboard
made a
castle.
Maze. Dave made a maze.
Dave made a maze. I want to see that still, man.
Well, you can, you know, spend $80 and live it, I guess.
No.
Gondry, did he do Beacon Rewind?
You did, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
So I think...
So good.
What's going to be interesting to see is whether or not they actually release, like, you know, replacement kits, like $10 replacement kits for, like, a singular item as time goes on. Because, I mean, it's cardboard. How hard is that to reproduce, you know? Like, I would imagine that there has to be some kind of middle ground where it's just like, okay, you have the game, you bought the set, and obviously something got fucked up. So now... You need to buy a replacement. Here's something for $10.
See, I personally would have gone with the idea of sell the game, put the ideas for the kits on the prefabs for the kits online. That way you can just spend $5 on cardboard and then make them yourself.
I smell an Etsy market, you know, just
coming
and
an Etsy. That is actually a very good point.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, somebody get on that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next up, so every so often I'll be, you know, scouring the internet for, you know, just a little taster of things that have happened, you know, not even necessarily nerd news, but, you know, things that, you know, might be funny to talk about on air. You know what I mean? There have been times where we've talked about pizza vending machines on college campuses or dressed McDonald's up like a Burger King employees dressed up a Burger King like the ghost of McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was all pretty funny. But today I find a similar story, and I love just the title alone was enough just to make me crack up. And that is angry Taco Bell employee accused of beaning boss with hot burrito. And... Of course, I'm just
solid alliteration.
I was going to say, whoever came up with that title was motivated.
Mm-hmm. Extra, read all about it.
So apparently in South Carolina, because, you know, of course, South Carolina.
Wow.
What? No, I live there. They are crazy.
Yeah.
So apparently at a Taco Bell in South Carolina, there was an employee who was upset after being assigned a morning shift. Apparently was so upset about it that he threw a hot burrito at his boss.
I mean, I've had some bosses in the past that I would really feel comfortable throwing a hot burrito at them.
I mean, I don't know what's more entertaining, the actual thought of, you know, imagining just watching a Taco Bell employee just whip a hot bean burrito at their boss and just... But no, here's the other thing. Just the article is making it sound better than it actually was. It's just like, the incident happened on Monday after the supervisor allegedly told the employee to stop being a crybaby right before she was beaned. Like, they're really hammering on, oh, it's a burrito. I'm going to use beaned instead
it's
of...
It's a burrito.
Legumes.
Yeah, right.
I don't fucking know, man.
The woman had turned away when melted cheese from the airborne burrito splattered her left arm, side, and leg, the police report states.
Oh, my fucking God.
No, no. It gets better. It gets better.
Where's my sour cream?
The police says the irate fast food worker didn't stop there. He also took off his headset, broke it on his knee, and stormed out. No arrests have been made, and the worker says there's been no further burrito casualties.
He didn't ask if I want sauce.
That was actually in the article, burrito casualties.
I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask to be burritoed.
That's
there is no God.
Bad, I feel bad for the boss. Like, how bad is your day? Like, I got burritoed today.
I'm picturing in the police station, they get the call, and I'm picturing like Fincher's Seven, and Morgan Freeman's on. You know, he's about to retire, but he's got to take on one last case. And it's the burrito. It's the burrito case.
813, 813. We got a hot pursuit burrito. There's been a burritoing.
Danny Glover, that. I'm getting too old for this shit.
Yep.
They scheduled me for the
damn it
shift.
What kind of a damn it? What kind of a world do we live in?
Morgan
people
Freeman
can just burrito other people.
I can imagine that Morgan Freeman just turning to Arlie
Unbelievable.
Ermey. Just turning to Arlie Ermey and being
let's
are you
script, ask him
Chad
to reenact
did not
it
like
for
his
us,
life,
right?
Life.
It's like, are you fucking kidding me? This can't be my last case. This is the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
I'm going to McDonald's for breakfast.
Fuck this. That breakfast isn't even that good. Oh my God.
All right, you know what? If not Freeman, I'm recasting with Chad McBride because I've been watching Human Target and Pushing Daisies. I just love that guy's voice. And
he's also – have you ever seen Waiting? He's good.
Oh, yeah. He's great. Of course.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's just – he's God, that guy's so good. That guy's just so good.
All right.
Wait, was he a dishwasher?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I mean, his line delivery alone.
Oh, my God.
So deadpan.
When he's, like, talking
like
to her.
He's, 20 feet tall, and he's just this very somber kind of.
I love, like, his reaction, like, him, or his line that he delivers when he's, like, trying to talk to, like, the angry lady, and she, angry server.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, I would really like, you know, I could see you for a couple of sessions a week if you want. And then she's like, yeah, I would really like that. I really would. But, you know, also, I just want you to do your fucking job.
And he's just like.
He's just stormed out.
She storms out. He's just like, all right. Oh, my God.
I do have clips from Waiting.
I know you do. Mm. Somewhere.
I have Awkward Dinner.
Oh, Awkward Dinner. That's all.
That's a good one.
No, but.
I'll play that after the break.
Just,
okay. Coming in.
So good. To melted cheese from the airport burrito. It's a slow-mo. I can imagine that. The just like the exploding all over. It's like,
I'm just imagining, like, you know, the report is just like, I don't know. Like, I can't. Was the manager like putting on, like, oh God, this injustice happened to me? I can't believe it.
You know what? It's
because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like someone got. Because I mean, honestly, dude. Because I've worked in the back of a kitchen like that before, and if someone threw food at me like that, I'd be like, "The fuck are you doing?" Like, it wouldn't even be worth like calling the cops over. I mean, are you shitting me? Like,
mm-hmm.
So obviously someone was being a dick.
Yeah.
So.
Next up on the list, we got trailers for movies that are coming out. Pacific Rim Uprising, first trailer dropped today.
I haven't seen the first one yet.
Haven't?
I have not.
Well, I think...
I guess what I've seen and what drives me nuts is the teaser trailer about the trailer. Uh-huh. But I haven't seen the trailer, and it bothers me that we're getting teasers for trailers.
Yeah.
To
I don't know.
Trailers for movies to tease us.
You know, I don't know if this is
well,
the actual...
Well, pretty soon we'll have the teaser for the teaser trailer.
We do.
For the teaser trailer.
We do.
Trailer
they come on television during football games where they're just like, and in about 20 minutes, we're going to have the teaser trailer
right.
for
okay.
the thing.
Oh, that was the teaser for the teaser of the teaser
trailer.
Okay, now, okay, okay.
That much teasing, I'm going to have to give a, you know, it's Hollywood bullying.
Quit tickling me, man.
Yeah.
Just fucking do it. Just do it.
Just
do it.
It's like, watch the movie. Watch the movie.
Like, I thought that you were talking about like just like a teaser for the movie, but you're talking about the teaser.
I'm talking about the teaser for the trailer.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck that noise.
That's like, come on, man.
Because I had an example read and everything. I was just like, well, they teased Godzilla back in the day.
We already know too much too soon anyway, because people can't just let these guys make movies anymore.
Right.
We got to have snuck, you know, set photos of this and that, and then we speculate out our asses for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then by the time they actually reveal the villain, we're like, I knew that 6 months ago. Right. Don't you miss when it was like you discovered the Penguin was going to be in Batman Returns because he's on the McDonald's novelty cup?
Yep.
That was exciting to me.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think, and I know I'm going to be like, this is one of the most hypocritical things I'll ever say, but like, you know, you have a lot of YouTube shows where they're just like, hey, we just got this teaser dropped, and like they talk about it for like an hour.
Dude, I want to.
And I do that too, but at the same time.
I mean,
like,
yeah, I was going to say, that's like 30% of what we do.
I know. And I'm not trying to slag
no,
on
no,
you
you're
guys.
Fine.
I'm not trying to slag on that.
I'm owning up to it, you know, at the very least. But
I'm guilty of watching some of them sometimes. Right. Like, I love the What Culture guys, but frankly, it's just. Those are conversations I think people should be having together, and it kills me
that they're putting it out as content.
And again, I'm not a gamer guy. I grew up like with Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and all that. And
right.
I do enjoy gaming when I have the opportunity, but I don't like make it my thing.
Right.
I don't go out of my way for it. And so things like Twitch blow my mind. I understand the appeal on a real like I got nothing else to do kind of mentality.
Right.
But I remember when it came time to play Nintendo, and I was always looking for two-player games for my brother and me so that we could both play
right.
instead of me just sitting there watching him play, because that, to me, drove me out. And most people used to drive you out of your mind. But now people are legitimately tuning in
right.
to watch other people play the games they aren't playing or they are playing
right.
or whatever. Like my nephews will go on YouTube to watch videos of other people playing Minecraft, so they go play Minecraft. And I'm just like, where did that come from?
StarCraft in South Korea
yeah.
is it's like the Super Bowl over.
Like, I do understand that there are arguments
crazy.
About putting that like they're trying to turn gaming into something that could be in the actual Olympics,
that
sort of stuff.
I don't think it should be in the Olympics, but
right. Well, no, not the Olympics. Necessarily, but
like its own thing.
Like it should be its own. Well, can I give you a for instance?
Sure.
Because I don't necessarily watch Twitch because I much prefer to like play video games, and I've actually broadcasted it before. But there is one event I am keeping my eyes on, which is the Overwatch League Championships.
Okay, that's the one I was hearing about. Yeah,
because I play Overwatch like a madman on PS4, and it's really cool because like you know I went to PAX East like. A year ago, and I got one of the t-shirts, and I was talking to people about it, and like, oh wow, all these franchises are going to come up, and you can actually be on a team, and if you're good enough, you could be drafted to that.
Sure.
And that to me is exciting because like I love that game, I study that game.
Oh no, I mean, and I know that people are people gamble on it. People legitimately are sponsored by like actual companies and get branding recognitions and things like that.
They're
like race car drivers in that regard, and that's wild. And I feel like if it's taken off to that degree, I really can't say anything on that.
Right.
But there is a part of me on the sake.
But
of,
like when you're just watching someone dick around in like you know, Minecraft, I get that.
To me, it's also the equivalence of like. Hold on for a second. You're telling me that when these guys, you know, the coaches and the big ex-athletes are sitting there and they look like they've pretty much just lived on a diet of Doritos and Mountain Dew and just said, well, this is what that athlete should have done. This is what he could have done. And it's like these guys train like if they get paid crazy money to pretty much dedicate their bodies, mind, soul, like literally their minds and bodies to this profession, this sport. And you barely like you go out of breath getting yourself out of bed and you're yelling about what they should have been doing. And then I'm just thinking to myself, oh, so now we're going to have these Overwatch guys with no disrespect. But I imagine there's probably a large demo of them that probably also struggle to get out of bed. And they're cheering on other guys who are struggling to get out of bed to play Overwatch.
We're cheering for our own.
I mean, it's part of me is just watch. Yeah, to me, it almost. And again, I'm overreaching here.
No, I mean,
but
it's,
I feel like we see
your point.
The parody in my head is basically I'm watching the movie I'm watching the prequel to WALL-E.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Fair I mean, enough. We're not
we're
at
all
the point
living
where we're,
the prequel to WALL-E.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not just talking the environment. I'm talking the humans.
Yeah. And, oh, we know that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. I mean, like,
hold
we,
on.
As soon as they invent Wait. Those sweet hover chairs, I'm done. Fake news. Forget it. Forget it.
Wait.
But as far as like the movie stuff goes, as you were saying with the YouTube videos and also the Twitch one really throws me because it's not just watching them play the games like you're watching the screens of the game itself, but you're literally seeing a pic like an image of the person playing the game, or in some instances, I gather like women in lingerie playing video games. It's like
those exist.
That looks like clickbait to me. Like,
congratulations, so, Clayton. It's the internet,
right?
Well, anyway, yeah. the reason I mention, so John Boyega
Pacific Rim. Let's go back to Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now that we've alienated about 90% of our audience.
Does anyone ever feel like it was probably awkward on set or like at home for the people that worked on those films, for the family members? Like, so how's that Pacific Rim job going? You having a good Pacific Rim job?
Yep.
Is that Pacific Rim job going to be any good?
Yep.
You making good money on that Pacific Rim job?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Nice. But... I'm
we met a person on the Pacific Rim job.
What?
We met a person on the Pacific Rim job.
Yep. That is true. Yeah, did you ever play Portal?
I've never played it. I know of it though. It looks cute.
Yeah, Ellen McClain, she does the voice of the voice of GLaDOS.
Okay.
She was also the voice of the AI for the Jaeger robots, the big robots.
I've seen the first one, yeah.
Oh, you have seen the first one?
Pacific Rim job, not of Portal.
That's okay. That was what I was referring to, Pacific Rim job.
Never not going to call it that.
Yeah, you do know that's the title of the episode, right?
It's Pacific Rim job?
Pacific Rim job, yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks, Clayton.
Hashtag on Nintendo Yabos.
I need to present myself more.
You
want to
write that down before you...
I'm sorry, no, you do not. You're fitting in quite well.
You probably want to type that down.
All right, I'll type it down in a second.
I'll type it.
Yeah, you do it. So, I mean, the thing is... Brian, have you been following this?
As best as I can. I mean, I haven't like been watching it like a hawk, but I've been paying attention to it.
Hawks don't watch trailers.
How do you know that?
And why do you want to be a hawk when you can be a duck? Quack.
Son of a
quack.
Bitch.
Quack. Quack. Quack.
I do love
really,
those movies.
Really, you're just going to let me quack by myself? Quack. Jesus. Never, no, it's too late. It's too late. You're like Estevez. Walked out on me.
Oh, no.
Right after Hans died.
Technically, he walked out before Hans died.
No, he walked out after Hans died because it's the brother. Franz comes in the third one. And
No. It was in one, Hans was their mentor. In two, they went to L.A. and Franz was their mentor.
Franz was in two?
Yeah. And then in the third one, Hans came back but was on his way out and then died in the – like that was like – The
and
act
that's
two
when
climax
Estevez comes back in, and it's like, yeah, you gotta trust this other guy. You know,
you gotta trust this third guy, you know, because I didn't want the job.
Honestly, just doing this cameo so they'll fund my directing debut.
Yeah, it's so unfair. My brother makes way more money.
Yeah, but he drinks tiger blood too. So.
That also true. But so this movie, Brian, you have to remind me on this one. So is Pacific Rim Uprising the prequel to the original?
Nope.
No.
Takes place several years later.
And so is Charlie Hundahl not in this movie? Or?
I don't think he is.
He is not, but Charlie Day is.
That's cool. I did love Charlie Day's character in the first movie. So
is the dude from Torchwood going to be back too?
I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure Charlie Day is the only reprisal of this film. I could be wrong. I also haven't seen the new trailer, so.
Well, you're in luck. Brian, pull that up. Pull us up that beautiful bean footage.
Pull it out. Just whip it out.
Oh, whip it out.
That trailer.
Just whip out.
Guys, I got to stop.
Whip out that trailer.
I am a professional.
Typing.
Pacific Rim.
Wait, why'd you write Pacific Rim job? Oh, there's an interesting turnout.
All right, here we go. Right, ladies and gentlemen, the Pacific Rim Uprising trailer.
Your father always said he wanted you to be a pilot.
So that's supposed to be,
Yeah,
that's,
Idris Elba's son?
Yeah, yep.
He said a lot of things.
Is Mako back?
I'm not a hero like he was.
The kaiju. They're gonna come back.
I'm not going to be stuck waiting for someone else to come save my ass.
Oh, please don't let this turn into Transformers.
It's gonna.
Oh, God.
It's gonna. You know it's gonna. Oh, that is one pissed off looking Tyrannosaurus.
This is the way the world ends.
How'd they get into our world?
Someone let them in.
Oh, he's back. Okay.
Who is that?
Definitely not one of ours.
Let's do this.
Yeah, he's got a lightsaber again.
So now it's Jaeger versus Jaeger.
Yeah, I think one of the things they were mentioning was that they might have... Oh, Mako's back.
We're going to need more pilots. We have them.
Oh, so now the Jaegers need three pilots now?
There are pilots we remember as legends, but they didn't start out that way. They started out like us. This is our time to make a difference.
My mental is anyone gives a real Starship Troopers vibe from this speech.
Jaeger pilots, do you understand?
Well, if anything, you're supposed to get a Pacific Rim original vibe off that speech.
I'm not really.
That's what Idris Elba more or less said.
So is Charlie Day just like on a rooftop half the time?
Yeah, probably.
Like... Yep, I live up here.
Gonna be a long day.
What do we do?
We fight!
Yeah, no shit. Ugh. You know what this is reminding me of? I have to admit, this is reminding me more of like a Transformers, Power Rangers, Real Steel vibe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. It's just...
It definitely lacks the style of the original.
And the oomph of it, too. Like, I remember seeing the trailer for the first one and just thinking, God damn, that looks awesome.
Well, it's because the first one had a lot more angles that were like street angles that really made it feel like... Those things are real.
Yeah.
They could be right next to me, and it's like...
I mean, not only that,
Guillermo del Toro directed this one too?
Okay. No, he did not direct this one. He opted out to do The Shape of Water.
Okay. Good.
Which is really good.
I haven't seen it yet.
By the way, I think part of it, like, because I was just thinking about it, like, honestly, that movie, the more I think about it, the first one does kind of remind me more of like Blade Runner than anything, just because of the aesthetic.
Yeah, I can kind of see
it
that.
Really works. And then this is just like, oh, it's bright and sunny and shiny and everything's great.
So this is reminding you more of Blade Runner 2049?
God, Jesus.
Not even that.
I mean, I don't mind.
Jesus.
I don't mind the fact that they opted to play in daylight. You know, so many CGI-driven things try to hide in the shadows of darkness to make it more believable. It's just I don't know, maybe the CGI isn't knocking my socks off. Maybe it's the camera angles. Maybe it's...
That could be it.
Just the direction in general. But to be fair, I mean, even the first Pacific Rim was kind of a take it or leave it thing. There's some people that thought the acting was stiff, to which I laugh because I think it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, if knowing Guillermo's style and his appreciation for tone, if he was trying to make a live-action anime... Those performances were pitch perfect to what I recall seeing getting dubbed over and stuff, you know?
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, even though I was just saying that, yeah, I don't really like the look of it, you know, compared to the first one, I'm still going to go see it. If I saw the Power Rangers movie in theaters, I'm going to go see this.
Sure. I mean, I might go to the cheap seats or something.
Yeah,
sure. I'm stressing this. There are a lot of other films I'd really like to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a movie. I don't know. I don't know if this is a movie I would go see at the Alamo, necessarily. Although, I would love to see what their pre-show is going to be like.
Sure.
Because, like, God knows what they're going to pull up for that. But
I think what it comes down to is, again, take or leave the first one. But if you do take it, I think they set up a lot of really cool thematic continuities to consider into the second one. And I don't really see this trailer... implying that they're picking up any of those loose balls, as it were. I wasn't really going for that, but
nope. Okay, moving on from that.
I just mean to say, no, I'm not. Sorry, I was tempted. For the prime example, Charlie Day's character by the end of the first one, it's implied that he has a actual connection, hive mind
psychic link with the kaiju.
And were that the case, I mean, you would think that that would play into it. I mean, perhaps that is playing into it. Perhaps he is the one who's inadvertently, maybe, whether he knows he's doing it or not, opened it so that they can return again. But
maybe he's the villain. Maybe he's the one who opened the rift back up.
I feel like a fool because, you know, we really should be recording these speculations on YouTube so people can watch it instead of having a conversation like we are.
I know. It's just...
Hey, everybody, we just saw the trailer for Pacific Rim Uprising, and we have some thoughts.
I mean, to be fair.
Pacific Rim Job Uprising. I should stop.
You know what's uprising? My dick. That was awful. God, I suck.
Yeah, we should just do a pull quote game where we just take quotes from this podcast, and like in 6 months, we just ask, did we say it or did Trump tweet it?
Yep.
And we'll just have, you know what's uprising? My dick. And be like, oh man, that is a tough one. That is a tough call.
I mean, it's possible Trump was talking about the Mexicans, but
trick question, it was both. Oh, what the fuck?
Damn it. That phrasing was kind of close. So. Anyway. So also we have the Black Panther trailer, because Black Panther's out in mid-February.
So wild. We're getting 3 Marvel films this year.
I know.
I like how all of them line up to the premiere of Infinity War. From the first week of January, if you watch one movie per week, it leads up to the Infinity War.
Release in May. That's cute.
So yeah, I'm watching the third one. Well, I'm 1 week behind, so I'm watching the third one tomorrow.
Okay.
That? Yeah. So I went by the cinematic timeline. I don't know if Clayton, if you could hand me my phone over there real quick. It's right behind you.
No, it's behind. It's over there.
It's right. Yeah, it's right there on the pile.
Give me
there.
Favor. Can you pull up
but
the Black Panther trailer?
That one has. I'll read you the list real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the cinematic timeline in terms of the story. This is not in terms of release date like everyone else is doing. So I scoured like Marvel's website and kind of looked through, and I typed it all down. So number one, January first week of January, Captain America, the First Avenger.
Mm-hmm.
Then the following week is Iron Man. Then the Incredible Hulk. Then Iron Man 2, then Thor, then Avengers, then Iron Man 3, then Thor the Dark World, then Captain America Winter Soldier, and this is an interesting one, Guardians 1, then Guardians 2, then Avengers Age of Ultron, then Ant-Man, then Captain America Civil War, then Doctor Strange, then Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, Black Panther, and Avengers.
Infinity War, and then Ant-Man and Wasp, which I'm excited for as well.
Yes. I saw. I mean,
but that's the leading up to Infinity War. So.
I know.
Is it the same director for Ant-Man and Wasp as it was for Ant-Man?
Think it is.
I'm okay with that, because I'm not saying he did a bad job. I think he did fine. But frankly, leading up to it, thinking it was going to be an Edgar Wright flick of all things.
Right.
On a cinematic visual level, it was definitely kind of a letdown.
Yeah.
From what you have to imagine Edgar Wright would have turned it into. Even if it was the same script that we saw versus Edgar Wright's original script, visually, I'm sure it would have been just wildly more enticing.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. It was just, you know, I'm excited to see somebody else play with those characters and what they can do. And then we have DC at the end of the year trying to squeeze in Aquaman. I know. I'll be there, but I know.
I don't think I call him Aquaman. I call him Miller Lite presents Aquaman, or Bud Light.
I mean,
maybe Budweiser.
At this point,
Aquaman.
If he fucking says dilly dilly in that movie, no
dilly dilly.
I'm trying to find out where the fucking actual trailer is.
Just go back to those last couple ones.
Because like, there's one that's like 5 minutes, and then there's one that's
another one. Like that one.
This one?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Hi, Andy Serkis.
You're telling me that the king of a third world country runs around in a bulletproof cat suit?
Alexis?
Why don't you ask him yourself? Because he's right outside.
It's Gollum and Bilbo.
Bingo.
my king.
Stop it.
The Black Panther lives.
A war is coming.
Of course, Whitaker.
That's damn calm.
Was that something?
Yep.
I hope you're ready, bro. Because I'm just getting started. Let's have some fun.
Show off. You don't want to see me getting to the check. They just want to see me swimming in the door. Don't drown on ground with a
I want your weapons. How you wanna play? Your secrets.
Ops on the radar.
It's all mine now. Is this your king? This ends today.
That's going to kick so much ass.
In a film that is bound to piss Donald Trump off, Black Panther.
Let's not talk about it.
I'm honestly just surprised they went with Killmonger as the villain for this.
I'm not as familiar with Black Panther as I'd like to be. There's definitely some reading I plan on doing before seeing the film. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it looks great. I thought the original teaser really teed it up well, mm-hmm. and I realized they have to release more to kind of keep drumming up attention. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited that they changed the music from the past two trailers they released, because that one with the guy going, "We own that," was just driving me up a wall. It was really, out of everything else, it was turning me off to it, but everything else, of course, you know, if that's my one gripe, I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was getting really tired of hearing that guy's voice.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah,
Revolution will not be televised. That's great. Following it up with "We own that" 1600 times in a trailer that's only a minute long. That's pretty annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, I think we're gonna go ahead and take a break, and then we're gonna come back, and we're gonna play a couple round. We're gonna play a round of two update, and we're gonna discuss some things on the Fat Shack.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll see.
Sean, hit me with them sweet, sweet. What's the word?
Greetings and salutations. Und Mutter and Vater. You want to support Das Podcast? Simply go to patreon.com/castwavestudios and you can do just that und du megans. Help us in the best way possible and you get und privileges to make your Freunde jealous. Schnell! Schnell! Go to patreon.com/castwavestudios. Well, hello. This is a commercial for castwavestudios.com/Amazon. It is the best way to shop for anything on your wish list. Shopping through Castwave Studios is the best way to help us without paying any extra. Remember, click the Amazon tab at castwavestudios.com. This is Casey Kasem saying grab your balls and reach for the stars. American Top
40. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Zach Patterson with Castwave Studios.
And this is Sean Holmes.
And we're here to plug our new movie podcast, Post Credit Podcast. Every episode, Sean, Rocky Diamond, and myself will hit you with movie news, discussion, and movie reviews.
Yeah, we were getting ready to watch a bunch of movies here, so I think we should start up with Batman v Superman, the directed cut.
No, Sean, why, no.
I think it's a highly underrated movie.
No, Sean, no Batman v Superman in this house.
Why not? I don't understand.
Why not? Why yes? What's good about that movie? Nothing is good about that movie. The plot is all over the
place. You can find our
Superman
show
does
at
nothing.
Post-credit
it
podcast at castwavestudios.com. Just click the picture of PCP.
As Lex Luthor, he shoves a Jolly Rancher in a dude's mouth.
All right, do you just want to watch Rogue One?
Oh, hell yeah, I love Rogue One.
Or does some great advertisements.
That we should record new ones.
Yeah, yes, we really do.
We really should.
Because Rocky hasn't been on a post-credit podcast in quite some time.
Oh, no. I hate to hear that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's busy.
All right. Well, Brian, I've heard that you have some items that you'd like to share with us today.
So let's take a jaunty left turn. And Sean, if you could unlatch the door and let us in to the Fat Shack.
I have to unlatch a door.
He's got to find the key for it. Hold on. We're getting into the Fat Shack. He's got to do the deadbolt and then turn the key. And
I got to open up the door here.
I'm sorry.
There we go.
So on the Fat Shack today, Brian's got an assortment of items he wants us to try. So
it's
Brian,
it's nothing too crazy, but
fine. So tell us about what items you brought for us.
Well, the first one I thought
show and tell up here.
Funny enough, this is something I found at work, and I just thought it was a really cool idea. And you can buy these at your grocery store. Scooby snacks, bro.
I'm sorry, like actual fucking Scooby
Snacks? Actual motherfucking
Scooby Snacks.
Okay, so it doesn't say Scooby Snacks on here. It says baked Graham cracker sticks, and they're made of cinnamon. But, I mean, when you open it up...
I mean, it's got Scooby-Doo's face on it. It's,
well, not only
Scooby
that,
snacks.
But, I mean, Scooby Snack.
All right, let's...
It looks like a fucking dog biscuit.
let's try this.
I'm just going to say, if this tastes like chilled liver, I'm going to be very cross
with
you.
Oh, God, no.
Clayton?
All right.
Oh,
who wants a Scooby Snack?
I do. Let's try them.
There you go. And a Tangram.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But I just thought it was a really neat little package.
Maybe.
It's a Teddy Graham in the shape of a dog bone.
Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a mix between a Teddy Graham and like a ginger snap.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it tastes like this and not an actual dog treat.
Oh, God. I would have.
We all know how much Brian loves the dog food flavor. Though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it.
It's sweetie and meaty.
Sweetie and meaty.
He's sweet.
Yeah. That you do know that's the secondary title for this episode, right?
What?
Pacific Rim Job #. It's sweetie and meaty.
Oh, my God. Oh my God! I'm typing that down.
To a wider demo, huh?
Oh!
It's just too good to.
I'm sorry. I'm just. That's sweetie and
sweetie. I need your meaty. God damn it. Actually, I want another. These are actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have to swipe more at work.
So the second thing, sweetie and meaty, delicious. Okay. Okay, so the next item that I have up for a review on the Fat Shack today is an item that was released on Martin Luther King Day this year. And I don't know how I feel about this because apparently this is a permanent addition to the Mountain Dew line. Whereas Baja Blast is not, but whatever. Mountain Dew Ice. Go ahead. You can have them.
Okay, so tell me, Brian, what's special about Mountain Dew Ice?
Well, I believe that this is their answer to Sprite. 7-Up, any kind of like lemon-lime, because Mountain Dew is more of a citrus-based soda, but it's not a lemon-lime soda. However, this is. Mm-hmm. This is a lemon-lime drink, and I actually am going to
pour it up a little higher, like, man.
Perfect.
See, I remember when you were telling me about this, you were thinking it was going to be more like a Crystal Pepsi situation.
Yeah, that's what I thought at first, too. I was like, is it going to be like Mountain Dew, but like Crystal Mountain Dew? And that's not it at all.
None for me, please.
Okay.
So,
not a problem. All right. So,
I mean, I don't know. If this is going to be like a Sierra Mist type situation, I don't know if I'm going to want it either.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be like Sierra Mist.
Have you tried it?
For the sake of the show, no. Here.
For the sake of the show, which means yes, I've tried it.
Here you go.
All right.
Here you go.
All right.
Here we go.
You want some more, Sean?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you like some more?
You know, it doesn't smell bad. Like, I mean, again, it's soda. How bad is it?
Yeah, here you go.
Here we go. Cheers.
Skål.
Interesting.
So it's like Sprite, but a little more sweet, and it actually has caffeine.
The question is, would you use it as a mixer?
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Without question.
Without question.
Mountain Dew Ice is a clear, refreshing lemon-lime flavored dew with a splash of real juice. That's literally what the description says. And I like to call bullshit.
Do you think this is Mountain Dew hoping to push aside Red Bull for the mixtures?
Possibly.
Good one.
You know what this tastes like?
What's that?
And I think they literally just put it in another bottle, and this will make sense as soon as you taste it. Sierra Mist.
That's what I just said, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just Sierra Mist.
I was really hoping you were going to go for something much longer in your description. You'd be like, you know what this tastes
I know,
like? And I'm pretty
I
sure
like,
they just put it in another
I like
bottle,
subverting
you know
expectations.
What this tastes like? You're 6 years old, and you just went outside, and it just stopped raining, but that nice dewy wetness
no,
as you
okay,
go to the swing set, but there's still some moisture on there, so you have to wipe it dry, and then all of a sudden you realize that you're the only kid in the playground, and you feel really special because it's just there for you.
And on top of that, you see a sun ray just come out of a cloud, and it's this happy little ray of sunshine, but all of a sudden it's overcast by even more rain coming in, but you're okay with that because you're sheltered.
Here's what I'm thinking.
In a bottle.
Here's what I'm
a
thinking.
A bottle of lemon lime.
Here's the thing. I love those descriptions. But see, I'm disappointed by this, so it's like, you're 44, you're in a dead-end office job, you've got three mortgages and a nothing marriage.
And you just spent $68 for cardboard to play your Wii.
Instead of buying
milk and gas.
You go into the kitchenette at your dead-end job, there's nothing in there but, you know, three-week-old, you know, cooked ramen and a bottle of, you know, a clear soda that says Mountain Dew Ice. You drink it and then realize life is meaningless.
Your impulsive buying habits are getting in the way of you actually being able to sustain your own life.
Oh,
Mountain
man.
Mountain Dew Ice.
What was the name?
Mountain Dew Ice. Mountain Dew Ice. It makes you question your own life. This summer,
Mountain Dew Ice.
I'm not doing it. I can't.
It's okay.
Mountain Dew Ice got dark.
Hey, man, at least it's not Bud Ice.
Have you ever had Bud Ice?
I've had Natty Ice.
Oh, God. It's like the devil's taint of beer.
Oh, it's awful.
It is the worst.
Until you had Natty Ice.
So, I don't know. Maybe it's
or
just
Beast Ice.
Or like a Smirnoff Ice. I mean, I don't know what
it's
it is,
best.
But you add ice to the fucking label, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, cool, it's cheap and it sucks.
It's the best Milwaukee has to offer.
Milwaukee's best. They should have tried better.
Hey, is that empty?
Yes.
Man.
Come here. Oh. Yeah, ugh. Yeah, there's your review. Mountain Dew Ice. Ugh.
Yeah, I think it's all right.
Mountain Dew Ice. Sierra Mist.
Growing on me a little bit.
Dude, no offense.
It's not going to be my go-to, but
I'm sorry, dude. When it comes to sugar water, your standards are kind of low.
That's not true.
Featuring Mountain Dew Ice. It's Sierra Mist.
Now, I do have I am opinionated, but whatever.
Oh no! I hurt your feelings.
No, you didn't hurt my feelings.
Oh, Bubby, I'm not.
Mountain Dew Ice, a lemon lime catastrophe. I'm a little more adventurous than just the regular soda.
Mountain Dew Ice, it ruins friendships.
My feelings, my only weakness. How did you know?
Mountain Dew Ice, do you remember Citra?
I'm cold.
Remember Fresca? It's worse.
No, it's not worse. No, there's no way it's worse than Fresca.
I don't know what you're talking about. I love Fresca.
Well, it keeps the piano leg up in the basement. That's Fresca.
Okay, so I think we're gonna end tonight. Do we have anything else besides to update?
I think that was it.
All right. Well, then I think we're gonna close out tonight with a round of to update. So I actually like to have Brian and Clayton play.
Okay.
Clayton, do you have Twitter?
I does.
Okay. So, Sean, if you could do me a favor, go wake up Diane.
Oh, man. I just got to wake up everybody. Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
I'll be right back. I just got to go get Diane.
Diane.
She doesn't
listen, guys. I brought her right here.
She doesn't know where we're at because we're in a new studio.
Yeah.
You have to give her directions, Sean.
Yeah. She's here.
Or send us a tweet.
Anyway, Clayton, I see the look on your face. You're probably confused. So, it's all right. So,
here's what, should be.
So here's what we're going to do. We're playing a game called Twupdate. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a hashtag to look up on Twitter.
Okay.
I want you... Basically, have you played Cards Against Humanity?
Yes.
Basically, I give you the hashtag. You find me the best example of that hashtag.
Okay, but really quick, I just want to say that I just went to the search on Twitter, and it says... the Doomsday Clock changes the mythology of the Watchmen.
Yes, I did see that, and I'm choosing to ignore it because I like the Watchmen mythology as it is.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, God. Yeah, I see that too.
I know, and that's a whole other episode we can talk about.
Wait, why is Murphy Brown trending?
I don't know.
What the fuck? We don't have time for Murphy Brown.
Oh, God, no. It's coming back on TV.
We don't have time.
Hey, Murphy Brown was a great show. I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, we always have time.
So start the rules over. I'm sorry.
Okay. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a Twitter hashtag, a trending Twitter hashtag.
Yeah.
You find me an example of what you think is the best response to that hashtag.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go with... Okay. We're going to go with the Twitter hashtag. So it's hashtag bad bargains with Satan. Hashtag bad bargains with Satan.
Yeah.
And so Clayton versus Brian, and then I'll take your answers. And
oh, I already got mine. Yeah.
Groove it.
Why do we get a new studio?
Why are we getting a new studio when we're doing the same shit we did in the last one?
We're doing the same shitty program.
You just
put all this.
Because I hate to just stop at the first thing I see.
Oh, I do.
No.
You might have gotten the same one I got.
No, here. You look for your best. All right, I'll tell you what. Brian, since you already have yours, I'll take yours. All right, so let's see.
You know I had to go with that. You know I had to go with that.
All right, so is this the tweet or is... Okay,
yeah,
here we go. Alright. Okay, so hashtag bad bargains with Satan, Ziggy at MRJFRI says, you can ruin my character if it makes Aunt May all better. And it's a picture of Mary Jane and Peter negotiating with one of the many versions of Marvel's Satan.
Yep.
Basically saying, I want your love. I want your marriage.
I almost went there just because of the comic book fandom.
Right, exactly.
But I gotta say, this was kind of worth scrolling for.
Okay, so that's Brian. So let's. You got
mine is by @Charlie_CK14. If anyone wants to find it,
okay.
Have fun with that and click on the photo when you get done reading.
Okay.
So what it says is.
Yep. What it says is when I was a kid, I said I wanted to be older with big boobs. Hashtag bad bargains with Satan. that's a winner. Woof.
What the fuck, dude?
That's a winner.
Do we display that for...
No. It's okay.
Because I think you guys have to put it on the cast wave. You have to tweet that. You have to
That's what we'll do.
Sean, before you post that, think of the children.
I think you got to retweet that one.
The children that watch it.
Hey, first of all, children, why are you telling Sean? You're the social media manager, Brian. You're going to have to do it.
No.
Wild.
God.
All right, so Clayton's one up. So 1-0 Clayton. Next one, we are going to go with... where was it? I saw it.
Or send us a tweet.
We're going to go with hashtag where was I last seen. Hashtag where was I last seen.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
So where was I last seen?
Yep, hashtag where was I last seen.
I'm okay. I don't think anything's coming up, to be honest.
Nothing good?
No, I mean like nothing.
Oh, nothing.
I got hashtag EarthChan and hashtag cocksucking.
What?
I don't know. It's fucking my Twitter.
Okay, I'll tell you what.
I don't see where was I last seen.
It's oh here. Just easiest thing to do is just go to top trends. It's number 7.
Strange that it wouldn't just come up in general.
I oh, you got it different. Oh, there you go. Right there.
Yeah, my number 7 is WWE NXT.
Yeah, it went to 8. I just saw it.
Okay, you got it. Okay, cool.
Okay.
Okay, so while they're doing that, I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna double back to this discussion we were just having before we went into this. But so apparently, 20 years after its finale, Murphy Brown is actually returning to TV.
Is it a full reboot or is there any original cast?
Well, here, let's see. CBS has given a 13-episode order to Murphy Brown Revival starring Candace Bergen. So they're not rebooted. I guess it's just Candace Bergen, who starred in the title role from 88 to 98, will reprise her role as its 30th anniversary approaches. Murphy Brown returns to a world of cable news, social media, fake news, and a very difficult political and cultural climate. Huh. So they're basically, so it's instead, it's Murphy Brown trying to survive the news organization nowadays.
I like the premise.
Oh yeah, no, that's a great idea. It's like Newsroom meets, you know.
Oh yeah. Dude, believe me, I know. I'm on board.
It's oh yeah, great. So am I.
Oh no, I had mine and then I lost it. There it is. Got it.
All right, cool. I got mine. All right, so Clayton, I'll let you go first since you got yours ready. All right.
This is by Justin with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 N's and the kissing lips emoji. I'm sorry, but his hash or his handle is at 5 for tweeting. Yeah, 5 for tweeting.
Just read it.
Yeah, right. No, it says hashtag where was I last seen on the kiss cam. You bet I give these people a show.
You see.
And it's basically a GIF or GIF, however you want to pronounce it, of a kiss cam at a game. And there's a gentleman sitting next to a woman, and they put a little heart around the two of them. And they realize they're on the big screen. Yeah. And the gentleman happens to lean to his opposite side where another gentleman is. And the two gentlemen make out instead, which is great.
Yep, that is awesome.
Classic.
That's really good. All right.
That one's going to be hard to top, but mine comes from at LupinFan83, LUPIN. Where was I last seen? Trying to get my parents to bang.
Yep. I don't know.
That's got to give it the Brian.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
I hate good. To admit. I think the Back to the Future one's going to take it.
I mean, for cultural references, that's pretty
no,
good.
No, I mean, but that one was so good, too.
I mean, either way, you should just, you know, make sure to tag everybody that we're...
Everyone's getting... Yeah,
that
everyone's,
was my runner-up, by the way.
Oh, that's a good one, too. that was a good
at
one,
the
too.
The exciting grocery store.
Oh, man. So, what's the... Is there, we got a tiebreaker?
So, yeah, it's 1-1 right now, so we do need a tiebreaker. Okay,
and this
so.
Is probably the most I've paid attention to Twitter in I don't know how long.
Nice. All right, so we'll go with we'll go with a tiebreaker round. It's going to be hashtag misheard lyrics. Hashtag misheard lyrics.
I misspelled misheard lyrics and almost ended up with miss, as in Mrs. Heard lyrics. I don't know who that might be, but nonetheless.
Or send us a tweet.
I'll just go ahead and plug things right now.
Yeah, go ahead and plug stuff while we're waiting.
You can go to castwavestudios.com for all our shows. We're revamping the website fairly soon, so feel free to browse around there. If you have any tweets you would like to send out, please send those out to at castwavestudios. The person's going to be answering that is sitting right beside me.
Hi.
And he's going to be answering the majority of those tweets. You can tweet me at Sean L. Holmes. You tweet Brian at B. Massey 1987. And Clayton, I'm not sure if you have a Twitter.
He does. He's playing the game, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, you have to be signed in?
Yeah. My Twitter handle is at ActorCSM.
Cool. And also, go to castwaystudios.com/Amazon for all your shopping needs. We also have an Indiegogo out for this studio. Notice everything is just... I just have this poster board here, and there's no like foam, so things might be a little echoey. I want to, you know, put some foam on these walls. Replace some mics.
All right, I got mine.
Maybe get some headphones for Colin.
Maybe we can get a nail for the painting so it doesn't be all crooked.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
There you go.
Help us buy nails.
Help us buy nails.
We pull.
All right, you got yours, Brian?
Yep.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and read yours.
Okay, so mine is from at Sindiana J.
Okay, so.
Sindiana J. Tweets, as a kid, I used to very confidently sing, "There's a bathroom on the right" to CCR's Bad Moon Rising, and not a single person ever corrected me. Apparently, it made sense that bathrooms were bound to take your life.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I see a bathroom.
There's a bathroom on the right.
I see a bathroom horizon.
Yeah.
There's a bathroom horizon.
Yeah, that's I can see that. I could legit see that, and I, as a child, I could probably imagine myself singing that lyric.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is from Claire underscore Dahlin, D-A-H-L-I-N.
Mm-hmm.
For ages, my mom thought the lyrics to Margaritaville were wasting away in my gorilla suit.
Wasting away again in my gorilla suit. Okay, yeah, okay, that's good. I'm going to have to give it to Jimmy Buffett lyrics. So, Clayton wins.
He wins. Take it.
This. God damn it, kids. Where are your parents?
The streetlights are on. Go home.
Yes.
Goodbye.
Anyway, so that'll wrap everything up for this episode of Boldly Going Nowhere.
The very first Boldly Going Nowhere.
From a new studio.
Oh, man.
The first of many to come. And as Sean previously stated, if you're interested in listening to more of our material, you can go to www.castwaystudios.com. If you're interested in purchasing items on Amazon and you want to see a little scratch kicked our way, but at no extra cost to you, you can go to www.castwaystudios.com/Amazon.
For all your shopping needs.
All those shopping needs. Clayton. We know you're an actor, and we know you're on the road a lot. Are there any projects we should be upcoming, looking forward to?
I don't know when this is going to air necessarily. But,
tomorrow.
Okay. Well, then this Saturday, the 27th,
yes.
A film I worked on a couple years ago. Wow, it's been years now. Long pitch. Anyway, a film I worked on a little bit ago is having its festival debut at the Rosebud Film Festival in Washington, D.C. on the 27th, this Saturday at 9:30. The film is called The Last of the Manson Girls. They do have a Facebook page. They are on IMDb. I think they have an actual website. And if you want to look that up based on the information given, feel free. And then early February, I'll be flying out to Nevada to attend the Damn Short Film Festival in Boulder City, which looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. So
Damn Short.
And that will be for a screening of a short film I shot in L.A. called The Jacket. That seems to be doing pretty well on the festival circuit.
Nice.
Really proud of how that turned out.
Nice. And if people want to look up more about you and the projects you worked on, where can they go?
I got a website, too. It is www.claytonstockermyers.com. And I'm also on the IMDb, also on the Facebook, also on the social medias. And just like I said with Twitter, the social media handles are at actorcsm.
All right. Thank you so much, Clayton.
Thank you.
And if you are interested in science fiction, we are going to Farpoint February 9th through February 11th.
Yep.
In Hunt Valley, Maryland. Sean, Brian, and I will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And should be a lot of fun. We did it last year, and we had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, it was a good time. I really think in terms of conventions, this is kind of my calling. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the one I really, really like.
That's you know what? That's fair. I can totally see that. I mean, it
feels like I'm among my brethren.
Yes. I like it because it's smaller. It's a little more intimate.
Yep.
Timothy Zahn's going to be there again, I think.
Tim Zahn.
Yay.
I'm like, yay, cool. So, you know, and it's just like they get good people there, and it seems more
It feels friendlier. It feels like kind of like the extended haven. It feels very nice.
I can see that.
I mean,
that friendliness.
Yeah, the only downside is that it's at the Horse Hotel.
Oh God, the one that the first regeneration.
But apparently they've under new management, so hopefully that stuff's gone.
Oh God, that place.
I'm sorry.
It's like the Mountain Dew Ice of places.
Mean it was like the other place.
Yep. Well, on that note, until next time, I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
I'm Brian Massey.
I'm Clayton Myers.
And you've been boldly going nowhere. Sean, hit me with the outro.
It's right here.
It's... One more time.
Harder.
Do it!
I'll try. Just do it! I'm trying!
There you go.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.